It's good to see you this morning. There we go. It always helps. If you're ever going to sell a car, the first step is to put a sign on it. If you're going to public speak, the first sign is to turn your microphone on. So it's good to see all of you this morning. I hope you're having a good week. Isn't this weather great?
Yeah.
You can't beat it. And we're just, before we get too serious, God bless our beloved Seahawks this morning. I think they're going to need it. And God bless all those people that might have skipped church to watch the Seahawks. Father, forgive them this morning. No, but in all seriousness, I do want to, before I jump into my word, I want to pray for one of our missionaries. He and his wife, Will and Pam Phillips, are in Malawi, Africa, and he's just dealing with some issues with his right lung. And there's pain, and they were actually supposed to be here this coming month in October to be with us, but they, because of the health issues going on in his body, need to figure out what's going on. And so would you just join with me as we pray for Will Phillips? If you don't know Will, they're great, great people of God, a great man of God who runs an orphanage in Malawi, and we just love them and what they're doing. So would you just join with me as we pray for him? But Father God, I thank you today, Father, that your Holy Spirit can touch Will's body right now. Father, we thank you for Will and Pam and just their hearts to love you, their hearts for the nation of Malawi. Father, would you continue to guide them? Father, continue to use them to truly invest in the next generation and make a lifelong impact in so many young people of that nation. And God, we just lift him up to you. Father, would you be the healer that he needs? Father, I pray that you would just fill his body with your divine healing. Father, continue to give him the wisdom of the steps to take as he is trying to figure out what is going on. But Father, we thank you for him, and we just speak your abundant life over him and over his family. Father, give the doctors in Africa that are dealing with him wisdom. And Father, just give him the right strategy that you have for him this time. We just lift him up, God, and just ask that you would divinely touch his body. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, like I say, it is so good to have you here. We are starting today a new series, and we've had a lot going on in the month of October, and so we've had a ton of announcements. And here's what I know about when you have a ton of announcements. You only remember the first two that they say. Oh, my mic fell. Did I knock my mic up? There we go. Come on, people. So how are you going to hear my announcements if my microphone is, you can't even hear me? So, but we've been talking a lot about a lot going on. And in the mix of it all, we've had community groups, which are small groups that we have. And our community groups are kicking off right now during this month. Some of them are started last week, some are starting this week. And so if you are not involved in a community group, we have some information on our back table. But I want to encourage you to get connected with people outside of Sunday mornings, because so much of life happens from Saturday all the way to next Saturday, right? We know that life is just not about 1 hour service that we get together. And so I would encourage you to get involved in a community group. Again, if you want to truly dive into relationships and even dive into deeper to what we're talking about on Sunday mornings, a lot of it's going to happen through a community group. And so you can get all the information on our website, but get involved in doing life with people outside of Sunday mornings. Amen? Some of my greatest relationships that are life-giving to me happen out of years of investment and years of relationship, and that's been being intentional about relationships. And so I just encourage you to do that for yourself. Would you just, let's just pray and ask the Lord to continue to be with us this morning. Father, we do just honor you today. God, I thank you that we get to come together, Father, and corporately lift up your name. Father, that we corporately get to hear what you want to say to us today. So, Father, all over this room, we open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us. Father, we open our lives, Father, to be changed by your presence. I'm so grateful, God, that in your presence, things change. And, Father, we just look to you today to lead us, to guide us, and to truly change us in your presence. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, you know you're a dad when you're worshiping the Lord and you have a pirate in your pocket. So that is courtesy of my two-year-old, and he's going to freak out when he realizes he doesn't have his pirate. And so we're just going to have the pirate be with us this morning, just for no reason at all. But as I said, we're kicking off a series, and I get to start it today. But as I get older, and each day I feel older, and especially Galadriel was talking about the gym. Anyone relate to Galadriel when you work out really hard and then you can't walk the next day? I don't even have to work out really hard to feel it the next day. I just have to work out, period. Maybe not even work out. Move faster than I usually do. Anyone there with me in that club where it's like, man, I might have walked a little faster today than I did, and now I feel it. Well, that's my kind of gym right now. I tried to keep up with my football team, a bunch of fifth and sixth graders, and run with them, and I won't be doing that for the rest of the season because it just wasn't good. But the older I get, I realize a number of things, and one of the things that I think about a lot is the power that my life experiences have over I view the future of my life. I look back over how I was raised. I look back over the experience that I've experienced through life, and those experiences truly shape how I look to my tomorrows. Anyone else there with me? Where it could be how you were raised, it could be how your marriage works, it could be a number of different things, but they say that you are shaped by your environment, and as I get older, I realize that's true, and that could be really good, amen, or it could be really bad. I also have learned that I have conditioned myself to respond either positively or negatively to certain words. Right, where there's almost like a filter. If you say something, if I've had a negative experience with that thing that you say, I might react negatively to you. You know, maybe your wife would mention something like finances, and you turn into a knucklehead, and you react. Right, so there's something that happens in our human body. And in our mind, where we react to certain words or phrases based off our experience with that thing. So this morning, if I were to say things like, Monday morning, a lot of you are getting mad at me right now. Because you're thinking, let me get through my Sunday before I have to think about Monday. I love Mondays. Second favorite day of the week, besides Sunday, of course. Right? Day off. I love that. Or I would say, how about 5 o'clock Friday, right? You guys are going, all right, Pastor Justin, we like that, right? I get to think about my weekend. I don't have to worry about work for 2 whole days. 5 o'clock Friday, that's a good day. You think about all the things that you get to do with your families, your weekend sports, doing your yard work. Some of you like that. How about Christmas? Come on, think about Christmas with me for a minute, right? You guys are starting to think of a tune in your head right now. And if you didn't, now you are. You're thinking about those memories that you have with your kids around the tree. You're thinking about those gifts. You're thinking about not working. You're thinking about having a day off and hopefully having the day before that off, right? You're thinking, maybe some of you are thinking about, man, I'm not ready to spend money on Christmas gifts, right? All these different thoughts. Again, depending on your experience, it's either positive or negative, right? How about April 15th? And some of you are going, I don't get it. How about tax day? And again, some of you are thinking, that's my biggest paycheck of the year. Woohoo! Right? I'd say if that's you, maybe get a new CPA because you probably need to do something different in your books. But some of you are then thinking, I hate that day because I have to pay a ton of money on that day. Right? So I knew a guy whose birthday was on that day, and I thought, man, what a terrible, no one wants to celebrate on April 15th. That's one of the craziest days of the year. How about Seahawks Sunday football, right? Some of you are going, all right. Some of you are thinking, man, I love that. For me, I love Saturdays because I get to watch my kids play sports. To me, I like look forward. Like, I don't sleep at night on Fridays because I am so excited about the next day and get to be a part of their activities. Like, so for me, that's a highlight. How about telemarketers? Man, if you're a telemarketer, God bless you. God bless you. But man, when I answer my phone and it is one of them, even if they are nice and polite, I just get in a foul mood. And I have a fear when I answer the phone and they start talking, I'm like, what can I do to just get off the phone as quick as I can? I fake static. I've done that before. Yeah, a plastic bag works really good to create static, right? I can't hear you. I can't hear you click. Right, how about your birthday? Right, as you get older, you might start to dread those days. But it's something that we look forward to. And again, a lot of these things, and I can go on and on for these different word associations, but we either have a positive or a negative reaction to them based off of our experience about those things. And I think most of the time, it's an experience that we've had with those things, something that has affected us personally. Or if you, have you ever had it happen where someone said, maybe someone said something about a restaurant that you've never tried, and they said, that is the worst restaurant I've ever been to. Would you go to it? Probably not. Right? Don't even get me started on Google reviews. Have you ever read Google reviews or Yelp reviews? Based on those, like, Yelp reviews and Google reviews, you would think a restaurant should just get their health license taken away forever on one person's negative experience. But I've never thought, do people understand or even take any consideration into the source who's giving those reviews? Have you ever thought about that? Like, well, who is this guy or gal that's giving such a negative review? Because they can have so much influence on the success or on the failure of that restaurant. It's crazy. I mean, the funnest thing to do is to look at church reviews, if you've ever done that before. I'm thinking, it's amazing what people think about churches, right? I mean, if you want to review us, go for it. You know, give us a good review. That'd be pretty cool. But the thing is, a lot of times we make judgments based on what has happened to other people that are in our life. Right? Maybe it's happened with people where one of your friends has had an interaction with someone else and they tell you something about that person that's not positive. Well, what's your view on that person now? Everything that your friend told you about them. And you're thinking, I don't even want to get to know this person. And then what happens when you do? Usually, you find out they're probably a halfway decent person. Right? So we have these associations. If I were to take it into our spiritual life this morning, a lot of times, again, with our spiritual life, I think about baptism. Okay, when I say baptism, what goes through your mind? Again, for mine, it's obviously getting wet. Number two would be it's celebrating someone's public declaration of Jesus Christ in their life. To me, baptism is a positive thing. How about Easter Sunday? When I say Easter Sunday, you start thinking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You start thinking about, what am I going to wear? You start thinking about, who am I going to invite? You start thinking about salvation. How about when I say the Holy Spirit? It just didn't get eerily awkward in here, did it? Maybe I'm just eerily awkward. But I think about the Holy Spirit. When I said the word the Holy Spirit, what went through your mind? What was the reaction? Again, many of you might be going, I am so uncomfortable. Things are about to get weird. I'm out of here. Some of you are thinking, it's about time we started talking about the Holy Spirit, because woo, 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 right? And I agree. But the thing is, we all have had a reaction to various things of the Lord, and a lot of times we allow that reaction to dictate whether we're going to open our hearts to that topic or not. If I have a negative reaction to baptism, well, I'm not even going to think about being baptized. Or if I just am so uncomfortable about the Holy Spirit, you start talking about it, and I start getting really sweaty and really nervous, and I just want to get out of here. And I just want to say, wherever you're at this morning, I want to encourage you to open your hearts to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you in your life today. Okay, because some of you are really excited. Some of you, when I said the Holy Spirit, had really weird imagery going on in your head of all the weird things you've seen done in the name of the Holy Spirit. Right? I'm there this morning. I look at the topic of the Holy Spirit, and I say, Out of all the controversial topics that the church could address, out of all the most misunderstood, confused, misrepresented, I've seen so much assumption done around the topic of the Holy Spirit. I've seen churches get into arguments like they were two-year-old kids over the topic of the Holy Spirit. It is a topic that if you want to start having conflict, you start talking about the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there's so much controversy and there's been so much that has been done in the name of the Holy Spirit. And so what do we do as humans? When we get uncomfortable, you're either going to fight, you're going to flight, or you're just going to freeze and think, I can't wait until this series is over. I'm uncomfortable. Hopefully someone will start talking about the weather really soon. Right? Well, because when we get uncomfortable as humans, those are our basic reactions. I'm going to fight it, I'm going to run, or I'm just going to freeze and hope no one gets hurt. Well, I want to give you good or bad news this morning that we're going to start a series for 6 weeks talking about the God I never knew. And our community groups are following this topic, the God I never knew. And it's talking about our life and our relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that our relationship with the Holy Spirit is important, vitally important to our success in living a victorious Christian life. And there is power that comes when you tap into that relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you were here last week, you know what an incredible service we had. If you were not here, we had a friend of mine come named Mark Cargill, and he spoke to us. And Mark Cargill, if you weren't here, check it out on the web. It was amazing. But he talked about vision, right? And Pastor Ryan talked about it. And vision is a future-oriented word. Right, we don't talk about vision as in it happened in the past. We talk about vision as in it happens in the future. And he talked about the tent. And if you were here, you remember this great picture. But he talked about Abraham. And when God wanted to speak his promises to Abraham, he had to take Abraham outside of his tent. And he had to take him out, and he peeks his head out, and he had to look outside of his tent to the stars. He had to look to the creation, because when God wanted to speak his promises and Abraham was inside of his tent, all Abraham could see was those walls that were surrounding him. Okay, Pastor Mark Cargill talked about our tent representing our own experience. He talked about our own limitations. The tent means that you're limited by the boundaries in your life. He talked about the tent being the thing that you can build on your own. He talked about structure. Those are all good things. Those are all things that make us who we are today. But if you want to tap into what God's plans and God's purposes are for your life, you have to get outside of your own limitations to see God's vastness, to see God's greatness, to see God's glory, and to see God's dreams for your life. Okay, you cannot see God's dreams for your life if you're only stuck in what you've known your whole life. And I was challenged by that, and I want to encourage us as we dive in to this topic on the God I never knew, that you would step outside of what you think you know about the Holy Spirit. I understand, unfortunately, there's been a lot of good that's been done in the name of the Holy Spirit, and I've been a part of some good. Amen. I've seen the Holy Spirit use me in ways, real ways in people's life that have changed them forever. I was in a situation just yesterday where I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. And all I could do is sit there and I had to just pray to the Holy Spirit because I didn't know what else to do. And you know what? There was peace that got brought to that situation. So I've seen incredible good. Unfortunately, I've seen some pretty crazy things done in a negative way in the name of the Holy Spirit. But I don't want to throw out that and say, oh, well, I don't want nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to do that just because there's been a negative experience. Because I believe that there's tremendous power that comes in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I think in order to understand that, I think it's important that we need to look back to how the Holy Spirit came upon the early church. And if you go back in your Bible, you're going to see that really Jesus started talking about it within the last 24 hours of his life. He knew that his time on this earth was done. He knew, and he wanted to prep those that were closest to him to say, hey, you guys, I'm leaving. I know I told you all along I'm not going to be here long, but the time is ticking. You need to be ready. And so you can turn in your Bibles to John 14, verse 16. And this is what I love about Jesus, is Jesus knew in the natural that his disciples would have a hard time with change. Anyone else have a hard time with change? Right? I hate change. He knew his disciples would be mourning. He knew his disciples would feel like they were a lost sheep. Here, the guy that has given them a hope for their life, that has literally given them the best 3 years of their life going out and doing the work of the kingdom, is now going to leave. And everything they knew was about to change. And I love, because he said, you guys, I want to tell you something. I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you alone. In John 14, verse 16, it says this. It's Jesus speaking, and he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he will live with you, and he will be in you. So the Holy Spirit was coming in Jesus' absence. Okay, Jesus was there. Jesus was doing the miracles. Jesus was leading his disciples to show them what the kingdom of God looks like. And he was going to leave. And he said, because I'm leaving, I'm going to give you an advocate. I'm going to give you a helper. I'm going to give you someone that is going to walk with you in my absence. See, Jesus didn't just leave and, oh, figure it out, boys. No, I'm going to leave you with an empowerment to continue to do the work of the kingdom while I am gone. So I'm not just leaving you, I'm leaving you with power. Right? I'm leaving you with authority. I'm not just leaving you. In fact, I'm giving you something. In essence, he's saying the mission isn't over. Just because I'm leaving, there's still work to be done. And now it's just not going to be me doing it as Jesus, but it's going to be you doing it in your life. It's going to be you tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus takes it one step further in John 16. And not only, because again, picture yourself in their situation. Put yourself in their shoes. They're probably sad. They're probably nervous. They're probably worried. They're probably confused. So Jesus says, I'm leaving. I'm going to give you a helper. And then he goes one step further and he says in John 16, verse 7, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Can you imagine how mad you would be? Because you're thinking, this is to my good that you're leaving me? This is the worst thing, Jesus, that you could do. Don't leave me. But he says, it's to your benefit that I go. Unless I go, the helper or the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So not only is Jesus leaving, he says, if I don't go, you're not going to grow. If I don't go, the helper can't come. If I was one of the disciples, and I'm just being honest this morning, I wonder if Jesus was their safety net. You know what I'm saying? When I say safety net, I go, oh man, I don't know what to do, but luckily Jesus is here. He's got it, right? Jesus is here, and now Jesus is gone. I'm sure they were, well now who's going to step up? Who's going to step up? Isn't going to be Judas. Thomas, good luck, doubter. I mean, can you imagine? Who's going to step up? You know, so pretty much Jesus is saying, it's to your good. I don't want to hinder my disciples because there's more that I have for you to do. If we continue to follow this, you know, in Acts 2:38, the apostles describe the Holy Spirit as a gift. Okay, you can read it. It's a gift. It says the Holy Spirit doesn't just have gifts, but is a gift. I think that's one of the biggest controversies around the Holy Spirit, as we get hung up on the different gifts when we miss that he is a gift. He is the gift into your life that is going to empower you to live a victorious life. We look at the word gift, and a gift means this. It's something that's given willingly to someone without payment or without expectation. And we all said, we love gifts, right? We love gifts. A gift is something given willingly to someone without payment or expectation. I cannot wait until Christmas. 79 days away. 11 weeks and 3 days. How many of you are already playing Christmas music in your house? Anyone? Okay, we got a couple honest people, right? All right. How many of you don't play Christmas music till after Thanksgiving? Okay, that's like the right way to play it. And how many of you, I get so sick of Christmas music by the time Christmas is here where I'm like, anything but Christmas music. 79 days. I tell you, I can't wait. I love the season of celebrating the greatest gift. Right? I love that season. Right? And we teach our kids it's better to give than to receive. Here's the truth. They're not in here this morning with us right now. It is better to give than to receive. But can I just be honest? It is really fun to receive. Right? Come on. Don't look at me like I'm the only one. It is really fun to give, but man, it is really fun to receive. If you don't like to get gifts, just be honest with yourself. In fact, my wife has already given me a list of wishes that she has for Christmas. And it's early for that. And husbands, can I just say this? Husbands, if your wife gives you a list of things she wants, just buy what's on the list. Don't get creative and think, I know she says she wants this, but I know what she really wants. She really wants that Traeger barbecue so she could know. Guys, if your wife gives you a list, just don't deviate from the plan. Can I just, been there, done that. The KitchenAid does still work after 14 years, but I still hear about it, right? Just don't deviate. She doesn't need the bowling ball or the steering wheel. Like, just get her the coffee cup that has a heater on it, and she can plug it into her wall. Just please do that. But here's what I know about gifts, is a gift says a whole lot about the giver. Okay, the nature of the gift says a whole lot about the person who's giving the gift. And we've all been given gifts in the past. How about the gifts that someone gives you that they want you to have, right? I really want you to have a crock pot, or I really want you to have, a GPS system so you don't get lost. How about the gifts that you need, right? Those gifts, I like those gifts, like, because I love to have new socks. I don't like to have holy socks, so I love when I get a gift that I need that I can use because it helps me, it benefits my life. How about the gifts that are just given for your enjoyment? Anyone love those kind of gifts, right? Where it's like, I have no reason other than like, it's just really cool, right? And it's just really fun to drive or to play. But probably my favorite type of gifts are the gifts that will make your life more full and the gifts that are not only going to impact you like right now, but they're going to be impacting you for the future, right? Something that's just going to make your life better each day. And this morning, as we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is a gift. Okay, my favorite type of gift was when someone gives me a gift because they just know that I'm going to absolutely be blessed by that gift they gave me. That's why we've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Holy Spirit so we can enjoy a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Holy Spirit so we can benefit in our life through that relationship. We were not given the Holy Spirit so we would just be awkward and uncomfortable and not really know what to do with it. Have you ever been given a gift and you don't even know how to put it together? And you're like, what's the point of this thing? Why? We've been given the Holy Spirit so he can benefit our life. And I think it's important if we talk about the gift is a reflection of what's going on in the person who gave the gift. I think we need to understand the heart of our Father who gave us the gift. I think that's vitally important. Because if you don't believe, number one, that God is good, and he gives good gifts, you're always going to question and you're always going to be unsure around who the Holy Spirit is. You need to settle in your heart that God is good and God gives good gifts to his children. You have to get that. In Luke 11, verse 11 through 13, it says this. When I'm reading from the Passion Translation, it says, "Let me ask you this. Do you know of any father who would give his son a snake on a plate when his son asks for a serving of fish? Of course not. And if you do," that's interesting. Or verse 12, "Do you know of any father who would give his daughter a spider, yuck, when she asked for an egg?" First of all, what kind of daughter would ask for a spider even if she didn't ask for an egg? But that's a whole different conversation. "Of course not. Verse 13, if an imperfect parent knows how to lovingly take care of their children and give them what they need, how much more will the perfect Father, the perfect Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit's fullness when his children ask of him?" Okay, and if you read other translations, instead of the Holy Spirit's fullness, it says, give good gifts to his children. Listen, we've got to renew our mind on who our Father is. That our Father is not out to punish us. That our Father is not out to make us uncomfortable and weird and just put us out there to see how we're going to respond. Hopefully he responds well in this awkward situation. No, our Father is a Father that wants to give us good gifts, and we've got to understand that. Okay, we've got to understand, number one, that he will take care of you. Can I tell you today that our God will take care of you? Our God will not just take care of you, he will take good care of you. He will take care of your needs. Number two, our God knows what you need. Because it's one thing, but oh, well, he'll take care of me, but he doesn't even know. No, God knows your needs. Can I just tell you this morning, he knows what you need. And number three, he's not just going to give you enough to get by, but he wants to give you a full measure of who he is. That he wants to give you a full measure of his Holy Spirit. He just doesn't want to get you enough to make you dangerous and like, okay. No, he wants to give you a full measure of his Spirit because he will take care of you and he knows what you need. So this morning, as we dive into a new series, the Holy Spirit is a gift. And the giver is good. And the gift is good. Period. He's not going to give you, when he promises his Holy Spirit, he's not going to give you this obscure thing that you know you have no clue how to operate it. You have no clue how to walk with the Holy Spirit. He does not give you the Holy Spirit to make you an outcast to non-Christians. He gives you his Holy Spirit so he can use his Holy Spirit's power to influence you and use you to influence their life. He's not going to give you something that you don't want. He's not going to give you something that you don't need. You know, looking at our world, looking at our community, because sometimes it's really easy to talk about our world, isn't it? Because our world seems so far away. But when you look at our community, it gets real personal real fast. Because I look at the hurt, I look at the destruction, I look at just the confusion that exists in our community, that exists in the families that I coach, that exists in the neighbors that I live next to. When I look and I put them, their faces, it gets real personal. Gets real personal. Listen, our community does not need any more self-help strategies. Okay, I am all for strategies that are going to help people walk into freedom. I am 100% for them. But we don't need just help self-help stuff. We need Holy Spirit help stuff. We don't need just more programs. Programs are good. But if those programs do not create a relationship with someone that's bigger than they are, then those programs will only last for so long. Okay, our community does not need just another thing to do. Our community needs to see those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ rise up and start being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's moving in their own life, and that they would put themselves in situations for the Holy Spirit to use them. That's what we need. Because I'm telling you, when you get asked the questions of why did my mom try to kill herself, and when you talk to someone and they are your same age and they say, the doctors have given me a year to live, what else do you say? Bummer. That's why we need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And both of those things happened to me this week. Holy Spirit, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But you've put me in these people's lives for a reason. Would we as the people of God be sensitive to the Spirit's power in our life? So three things as we close. Because we're going on a journey. And I want you, out of everything I say today, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is a gift. Okay, it's a gift. We want the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. Number two, as we go into this six-week study, do not allow your current understanding of the Holy Spirit to limit you from your future understanding of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes our greatest hindrance to learning is what we already think we know. What I already think I know about the Holy Spirit, good or bad, I don't want that to limit me from the true view of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life in this season. So, I already know this. Oh, I already know how the Holy Spirit works. I've been there, done that. It's not a been there, done that thing. It's a lifestyle of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So don't allow your limited understanding to hinder you from greater knowledge of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. And the third thing, as we talk about the God I never knew, is that you would allow the Lord to break negative word associations that have to do with the Holy Spirit in your life. Have you seen someone else's experience with the Holy Spirit and that has caused you to be turned off to a future relationship with the Holy Spirit? If that's so, I want to encourage you to open your mind to a relationship with Him. Can I just say this? The Holy Spirit did not come to make you weird. You're just weird on your own. And some of you are weirder on your own. And I'm probably the weirdest on my own, right? But the Holy Spirit did not come to make you weird and to isolate you from humanity. The Holy Spirit came to make you powerful and to make you effective in the lives of others. Okay, so if you have a picture of just weird, you know what? People are just going to be weird regardless of what, because we're humans. Because we're just weird ducks. So you can be a normal person and believe in the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Okay, so if you consider yourself normal, you're probably the weirdest of us all, but that's a different story. Because I believe this, I believe not only have people put a spin on the Holy Spirit, but I believe that this is probably one of the most misunderstood topics that we deal with in the church. And I believe that the enemy of our soul has twisted things on purpose. And I believe that he has brought confusion to the church so that we wouldn't tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think he's done a pretty good job of causing confusion, because I don't see the church walking in the power that we're called to walk in. Worship team, would you come up? You know, so other negative word associations, I'd say this is, if you've asked the question, and I've asked it many times, why do I need the Holy Spirit? If you've asked that question, I want you to allow the Lord to renew your mind over the next 6 weeks. And if you've asked that question, that's okay, right? That's fine. But would you be open this next 6 weeks to say, Holy Spirit, would you renew my mind to be open to your Spirit's power in my life? Would you stand up with me, church? because the Holy Spirit is a gift given to us to empower us to grow in your relationship, to grow you closer to the Father. Listen, I our community, your neighbors are waiting for you to stop trying to do the gospel without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because there is no difference without the power. There is no difference in self-help without the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, I want to just pray for us as we dismiss. But there may be people in this room, in a room this size with this many people, that have never begun a relationship with God. And this morning, you're talking about the Holy Spirit, Justin, and I don't even have a relationship with God. And I want to encourage you today, whether you feel far off from God today or not, you may look at your life and say, my relationship with God is broken. I want to encourage you that today can be the day that can change everything. That there is a relationship, a personal relationship that you can begin with God today that will change the course of your life. And so if you're ready today to say yes to Jesus, this is a place that you can say yes to Jesus. And there is a relationship with a power that God wants to fill you with that is going to cause you to live a powerful life. And so I don't know if there's anyone in this room, but if you want to begin a relationship with Jesus, would you just raise your hand just so I can see, and then we're going to pray together. I don't want this place to be a place where we don't give people an opportunity to respond to the gospel. So if that's you this morning, just raise your hand. And if not, that's okay. Awesome. Cool. For everyone else, obviously I said a lot, but would you allow the Lord to recondition your mind today into this relationship with the Holy Spirit? If you've allowed negative word associations to affect your relationship, He wants to fill that name with new word associations. If you've just been closed off to the Holy Spirit, listen, things aren't going to get weird. But if you've just been closed off to the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to open your heart today. Because there's a power that God wants you to tap into in your life. Come on, can we just close our eyes for a minute and just take a minute to respond to God? How many of you today would say, that you want God to renew your mind in the area of the Holy Spirit. Me too. Because I think there's been unhealthy patterns about this third part of the Godhead, the Trinity, that we talk about. And I don't want those things to limit me any longer. Some of you, and I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but if there's negative word associations that you have with the Holy Spirit, would you open your heart today to allow God to change those things? So I just want to pray for us. So if that was you, if you want to respond to those three things, would you just lift your hands as a sign of surrender to God? And I just want to pray over us, pray for us. But Father, you see your church, you see your people. Father, we recognize that we need our mind renewed in the area of your Holy Spirit. Father, whether there's negative associations, fear, limited understanding, Father, would you renew our minds into this great relationship that you have for us? Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit has come to make us powerful. Father, would we all be able to receive your Holy Spirit like a gift that is going to benefit our life? Father, over the 6 weeks, we commit to opening our hearts and our minds to be renewed. Father, where the enemy has used the Holy Spirit and this the topic of the Holy Spirit to bring confusion, Father, forgive us for the confusion. Father, would we open our hearts to want to begin a relationship with the Holy Spirit as you see fit. Father, forgive us for our limited understanding. Father, we say yes to you. We say yes to your Holy Spirit's moving on our life. We say yes to your Holy Spirit's empowering on our life. Father, would you use us? Father, I pray for everyone in this room that their relationship with you and your Holy Spirit would just take off over this next 6 weeks. Amen. Can we just respond and sing this chorus, Noah, together? Come on, let's respond and sing to him today as we close.
Sing in all the earth. Oh, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out. Pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord.
He's so good. Come on, he's so great. Amen. Come on, I hope you're excited to go on this journey together. You can go to the back table, sign up for a group, see what's going on. As we go, I just want to say it's really good to see all of you this morning, but Is Gwen still here? It is so good to see Gwen Larson with us this morning in the back. Been here for a long time, and we haven't seen her in a couple weeks, but Gwen, it's so good to see you. We love you. Make sure to say hi to her, but let's go out of here. Open hearts, open minds, to be open to the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen.